Thessalonians, I will try to make it short tonight. Try, I said. We have looked recently at verses 13 and 14, looking at how the Thessalonians received the word that Paul shared with them because it was the word of truth, it was the word of God. And because of that, they were willing to follow, imitate those that were in Judea who suffered persecution. They were willing to go through those trials and sufferings and difficulties because they knew the word of God would sustain them. We'll pick it up in verse 15. It says, "Who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we too can receive your word as truth because you are a God of truth. We understand that through the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, we become your child, and then it's through that word of truth that we begin to grow in grace and the knowledge of you. I pray that as we see opposition in our country today against anything moral and upright because they hate the word of God, that people today are contrary to all men because they hate you, that we would still be the salt of the earth, the light that you desire us to be, and that we truly would live for Jesus, because we're here just for a little while, and eternity awaits us with you for just ever and ever. And so for that we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. So we notice in verse 15, they killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men. And they weren't just a little bit upset or angry. The word killed means to slay or destroy, and that's how they treated Jesus Christ and the prophets that were sent. And then they persecuted believers. It's an old word that means to drive out or banish, to chase out as if a wild beast. And so the principle is if you don't like the message, get rid of the messenger. And they did not please God because they were contrary to all men. They had no desire to know God's will, to do God's will, to please Him. They had their own agenda. And so they sought to keep people from hearing the message of salvation. The word contrary means antagonistic, hostile, set against. It's like a wind that blows against and hinders progress. Now, that could have been a storm in Fiji there. We saw several of them. Now, lately I've been doing a lot of bike riding. I don't play golf with the other men. That would be probably good exercise too. I probably have to go into the woods and find every golf ball I hit and go chase them down, and probably would be a good profitable business because I'd probably find other golf balls to turn around and resell. But I've been doing a lot of riding, and when you're riding bike, you can really tell the direction the wind is blowing in. So some days I'm going and I'm going south and, wow, this is easy. No problem. But then by the time I turn around and come back, well, the wind's coming out of the north, and sometimes it's just reversed. But riding against the wind is hard on a bike. Well, driving against the wind in a car depends on the engine of that car. That can sustain it. And so I'm riding and I'm struggling, and you see these cars just go whew, right by me. No problem. But sometimes even the most powerful vehicles can't handle the wind. And so, remember on the roads going from, or the road going from Rapid City to Hot Springs, often these semis were blown off the road, and I'm sure other places in our country as well. But going against those that are contrary to the Word of God takes the power that only God supplies. If we're going to stand against those that oppose us, and they are vehement, they are forceful, they are set in their way to try to hinder God's word from going forth. Ephesians tells us the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Isn't that amazing power that God provides for us? Strengthens us with his might in the inner man. But in order to have spiritual muscles, sometimes God allows that opposition to come. And we need to be able to stand therefore with the armor of God on. And so we are to reject the profane and old wives' fables, reject the news that we see that's not accurate, that's not true according to the word of God. And there's a lot of it out there that distorts, that twists, that deceives. Satan is the master at that. Remember, he's the prince of the power of the air and of the airwaves. And so you have to examine. You have to do some fact-checking. Make sure that the standard is the word of God. And so we're told to exercise ourselves toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that's now and of that which is to come. So spiritual exercise comes with the trials that God allows in our lives. Trials that God allows, sometimes he designs, for the purpose of strengthening us unto godliness, that we might turn to him and recognize that he's called us to be conformed to his image. And that takes sometimes the suffering and difficulties, the appointment that these Thessalonians had in chapter 3, verse 3, that they shouldn't be shaken by these afflictions. But they were appointed to that, and they suffered tribulation just as it happened. And so in Hebrews, it challenges us as well. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when you have these people that are contrary to the word of God, it forces you. Dee had us watch a video of a man who was very adamant, very gifted in persuading people. And he was in Revelation chapter 12, and he was expounding on the woman and on the dragon and so on, but didn't even bother to look at what the passage was talking about. Went on to just talk about how, have you ever been pregnant with ideas, and how Satan will seek to hinder you and anything you want to accomplish in life, and he goes on and on. There are those out there that have truly false messages. They appear to be angels of light. They seem to have an understanding of the word of God to those who are immature. But you need to be able to discern between good and evil, between the word of God and that which is opposed to God's word, that twists it and distorts it. So then in verse 16, we see that they were forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Forbidding, prevent, hinder. So this young lady, Shamina Hussein, shared about her once before, but a Muslim young lady. And we were having Bible classes at Lombasa College, the high school. And the so-called Christians that were coming to the class had so varied ideas about the Word of God. And when the gospel was presented, it was almost like it was something they never heard of, probably because they never had. Well, Shamina had some questions about the Muslim religion. And so she started coming to the Bible classes. And then one day she approached us before the start of class and said, can I please come? We said, well, you certainly can. She said, well, the Christians that are attending said this Bible study is only for Christians. And we assured her that this message that we were sharing was for her as well. And obviously it was for these others because they were just merely religious. So Shemina started coming, and she was under conviction. She had said that her life was lived for herself. She had no problem to lie, because in her religion, the end justifies the means. If it turns out good for you, it's okay. But she said, you know, just recently, I had borrowed a book from one of my classmates, and he wanted it back, and normally I would have just told him I didn't have it or I couldn't give it to him. We just made up an excuse. But she said, you know, I was under conviction. I couldn't lie about it, because she had seen the truth of God's word and how holy God was in character and how different he was than Allah. And she wanted to hear more, but Satan hindered us from really being able to sit down and share with her, because as soon as the study was done, she had assignments to do. They just gave us a short little block of time to be able to share with these students. But she came to us and said, there's going to be a athletic rally, like athletic games at another one of the schools. And she said, the students from Lombasa College are able to go to kind of watch these games and cheer on the athletes. She said, but I want to be there, and I want you to be able to open up the Bible and share with myself and some friends. And so we went into kind of a secluded area, opened up the Bible, and shared with Shemina the wonderful message of the gospel. And she listened and asked questions, and her friends were there, and they listened, and time came when they had to leave. We had no idea what they were thinking. The next week when we came to the school, Shemina met us by the big mango tree. Now that's kind of a joke in Fiji because they give directions by the big mango trees, and there's about 100,000 big mango trees in Fiji. So she came out and met us there, and with this big smile on her face, and told us that she had accepted the message of salvation. Wow, were we thrilled. But then, the class had actually shifted to the cafeteria area, a much bigger area. We started meeting on Sundays. And the teachers saw the number of people that started to come out to these. And it was okay if the so-called Christians, the Fijians, were coming, but they saw Shemina and her friend Reshma, who was Hindu, coming, and some others, and boy, they were bothered by that. And so they began to put pressure on Shemina not to come out to hear the word of God. She continued to come for a while, but then they threatened her that they would fail her in her classes. She was the top student in the school. Not only would they fail her classes, but they would do everything they could prevent her from going on to the university. Because of her loyalty to her parents and so on, she stopped coming to Bible study. And today, sounds like she really has very little discernment into what's right and wrong, into the Word of God. But if you think of it, remember to pray for her. She's God's child. And pray that she would just remember those truths that she learned way back then. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14. Just one example in the book of Acts dealing with the opposition faced and the process of forbidding and hindering the gospel going forth. Verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude both of the Jews and of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with the rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, into the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. So they were hindered in this area in one sense. The minds were poisoned. False information was given about these Bible teachers to turn them from what they were hearing. There was this violent attempt on their lives, and they did move on, but it didn't stop them from preaching the gospel message. So even though Satan desires to hinder, he cannot stop. We have public schools in America, and they're forbidden to speak of Christ, read the Bible, pray in Jesus' name. But we see in Matthew 19, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Children's ministries are such a wonderful thing. I'm glad of that we have the Kids for Truth here. We have Sunday schools. We have outreaches to children. How many have a testimony that when they were a young child, they heard, whether through a Sunday school, a Bible camp, and pray that next year we'd be able to have that camp again. It's so easy for them to say, well, you didn't have it this year, what's the purpose of having it next year, and then put on more and more restrictions. Satan is hindering, but again, he cannot stop God from moving forward with his word. And then it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. They heaped sin upon sin to the overflowing. Therefore, wrath has come and will come. God often gives warnings. There was a warning to the disobedient Jews for their unbelief in AD 70. The temple was destroyed. Their religion was demolished. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, there's God sets forth what's going to happen in the tribulation when he's going to deal with Israel and their sin and bring them to the point of seeing their Messiah. John 3:36, to those that don't believe, God's wrath is upon them. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, where it reads, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, in chapter 2, verse 16, this wrath is probably in context talking about the tribulation. But we understand that there's a progression, that even though God is a God of grace, a God of mercy, God desires to have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So he's long-suffering. But there comes a time when God's grace has been rejected for so long, his judgment has to come. In Genesis chapter 15, when God tells Abraham that God's going to provide for this nation, these descendants that are come from your loins, and they're going to go into a foreign land. And they're going to be in there for 400 years. And then he says, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Can you imagine God waiting that long before he brought judgment on this people that were so idolatrous, so wicked, so rejecting of the God of creation, who wanted to become their personal God, have a relationship with them. So let's quickly turn to Matthew 23. We see another illustration in verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. And then in verse 31, therefore you are witnesses against yourselves, that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. So their fathers had this measure of guilt that was so great in denying the truth of God, killing the prophets because they hated to hear what they had to say. And those in the present time of Christ, he said, you're going to fill it up to the top. You're just going to continue on where your fathers left off. Then we turn to Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, who hold it down. God's anger is against them. And so he gives them over. And he's going to judge them in their God-rejecting attitude and life. God will eventually have them stand before him at that great white throne. And their mouths will be stopped, and they'll be proven guilty. In chapter 2, verse 4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? They totally reject how good God is to them, his mercy and his love and his grace. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God who will render to each one according to his deeds. They hardened themselves by rejecting the truth. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. When the light exposes their sin, they get harder and harder and turn further and further from the truth. And I'm sure you've heard the illustration that when the sun shines on wax, it softens it. But when it shines on that clay, it hardens it and it cracks. Just like Pharaoh was hardened when he rejected the truth. And says that God hardened his heart. Well, how did God harden Pharaoh's heart? He just gave him truth. And the more Pharaoh rejected the truth, the harder his heart became. And so in half the times it speaks of Pharaoh hardening his own heart. Again, God's wrath must come when his grace is rejected. So, I have more, but I'm going to give you a break tonight. We are going to stop there. But just understand that we do have an adversary. He seeks to hinder the gospel from going forth. We have those that work in conjunction with him, and they're contrary to the Lord, to those that speak the word of God, those that teach the word of God. They're contrary to all men. But we have the privilege of standing against the wind, against that force, because we do have the Word of God, the power of God that backs up that Word, and we have the pleasure of living for our Savior and being a light in this lost and dying world. Let's pray.